your Bibles to Mark chapter 8 tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8 this evening. Continue our study through the Gospels. There are two miracles that Mark records that are not recorded in any other Gospels. We studied one a while back when there was a man who could not speak or hear, and the Lord healed him. Mark is the only of the Gospels that records that, and the one we're going to study tonight, the blind man at Bethsaida, Mark chapter 8. Tonight, I hope we can learn some things about spiritual blindness. And being blind is kind of a scary thing. Most of you can see. It's an interesting thing to study about some people in history who were born blind or maybe even became blind as they were young and how they faithfully served God and how God blessed them in spite of what we would consider to be a terrible disability. Many have faithfully served the Lord. But in biblical days, when somebody could not see, it was considered by culture, especially Jewish culture, that this person was cursed by God. And you'll remember before in the scriptures, there was one who was born blind in John chapter 9. And the disciples asked the Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And in that culture, that was the thing. If you could be sick from a lot of different things, but man, if you were blind, that was a curse from God, and it was because of some terrible sin in your life. So when you study about the healings of blind people in Scripture, you need to understand that in that culture, that this was a huge deal. Not just the disability of not being able to see and how difficult it would be to live and how you would have to depend on someone to lead you around and all the different things that would go with that, the physical impairments of that, but culturally, emotionally, spiritually, and in the religious sense of that day, what a huge deal it was for someone to be blind, and what an incredible thing it was for someone to come along and heal people who could not see. For the blind to be given their sight was a direct sign of Messiah. Isaiah prophesied of it, that when Messiah came, not only would the lame leap, not only would the deaf hear and the mute would speak, but the blind would see. And you'll remember, though John the Baptist had already said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," when he got thrown in prison, he got a little nervous. He got a little scared. His faith was a little concerned. So he sent his disciples to go ask Jesus, "Are you really him, or are we looking for someone else?" And what did Jesus tell them? He said, "Go tell John that the blind see." That's it. This was a direct sign of Messiah. So there's a lot of implications when we study. And it's easy for us. Most of you have been in church your whole life, and you read these things, and it's, oh, that's really good. Jesus healed another blind person. We just kind of skip over it. We've heard it so much, it doesn't really mean anything. But let me tell you something. It meant something to this man. And it meant something in that culture, and it meant something concerning the prophecies of Christ and knowing that he is Christ, indeed the very Christ. And it also means something for us today. And I hope that we can learn that tonight. Let's stand together. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Let's read verse 22. "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took him, and he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught." Let's stop right there and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I pray, dear Lord, you would convict our hearts through your word tonight. Lord, help us to understand the scriptures. Help us to rightly divide your word of truth. And Lord, help us to gain a greater understanding. And Lord, help us to have our eyes opened tonight. Help us to see more clearly tonight. And help us to use the things we learn as we go from here, that we can live for your glory. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. And please bless tonight, when the invitation time comes, that if there are those who need to make decisions for Christ, that souls will be saved, and men and women and boys and girls would surrender to follow you in scriptural baptism, serve you in the church, and that any unconfessed or unrepented sin would be dealt with tonight before we leave. And Lord, we just pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. I told you before about the man who he kind of was in the habit of falling asleep at church. And I'm sure glad we don't have anybody like that in our church. People are in the habit of falling asleep. That was a joke. You could laugh if you wanted to. But This fellow, he would always fall asleep at church. He would go in with his wife, and his wife would sit on one side, his daughter would sit on the other side, and he would fall asleep. Well, one day while the sermon was going on, the power went out and the lights went out in the sanctuary. Well, the pastor was an older man, and he didn't preach from notes. He studied his Bible, and he didn't use notes. I'm not that smart. I need notes. And so he studied, and he prepared, and he preached, and he didn't use notes to preach. So when the lights went out, he didn't miss a beat. He just kept on preaching. Never missed a beat. Well, somewhere in the middle of the sermon, the man woke up and he realized that he was still alive because he could hear the preacher preaching, and he realized that his wife was still sitting on one side and he knew his daughter was still sitting on the other side, but he couldn't see anything. And he jumps up in the middle of the sermon and says, "Help me, I'm blind." So I'm just going to think in one of these days we're going to try that. Somebody falls asleep, I'm just going to give a signal, the lights will go out, and we'll see what happens. When we think about somebody who's being blind, and when we study this in the Bible, we see some who, the Bible specifically says they were born blind, and others it just says they were blind, and we don't know whether that was something that came upon them later. And I've got an idea about this man we're going to study about tonight. But the fact of the matter is, our sight is precious. It's a precious thing to be able to see. It is in our day today, and we have all kinds of things to help people today who cannot see. I mentioned the little girl who read by Braille, and that's been around for a long time. And people who are blind can read, and people who are blind can get around, and people who are blind can do all kinds of things. And we have accessibility things on our phones to help people with disabilities and the ability to learn, and the ability to communicate, and the ability to get around. Those things are so much improved in our world today, but it's still a difficult thing to live without eyesight. But imagine what it was like almost 2,000 years ago. Imagine what it was like in that day when someone couldn't see. Just the physical, the needs to get around and to travel and to go from place to place, and the ability to do something, it would be difficult to take care of sheep or other animals. It would be difficult to grow crops. It would be difficult to do anything if you were blind. And so you would be at the mercy of someone else to care for you, even to lead you around. And so that's the condition of this man. Now, we're at Bethsaida around Galilee. And you need to understand in Mark's gospel, this is a transitional point right here in the middle of chapter 8. We've seen the Lord going around, and in the past several months we've been studying about his Galilean ministry. And in that time, he's going to the people, and he's proclaiming the truth to the people. But he has been rejected and refused by so many. He's coming to a close of that Galilean ministry. He's going to go from there very soon, and he's going to begin to really focus his ministry not on the people at large, but on a certain group of people, his disciples, which we know to be the church. And he's going to really focus on teaching and growing and developing the disciples. So this is the last miracle that we're going to see, at least in Mark's account, around the Sea of Galilee before there's a transition. So they're there at Bethsaida. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, the help of great friends. These friends had a friend who was blind. And so when they heard Jesus was in town, they took their friend and they brought him to the Lord. Isn't that good? Listen, their friend had a need. They knew Jesus could meet that need. And so they took him and they brought him to Jesus. And then notice the Bible says, and besought him. This, in other words, this man's friends pleaded with Jesus. They entreated Jesus. They prayed to Jesus. They besought the Lord that the Lord would touch him. Now, they wanted Jesus to touch the man. And why would they do that? Well, if you study your Bible, the miracles of Jesus, you'll see over and over that he touched people, and at the touch of Jesus, people were healed. Amen. Right? Amen. I mean, he touched a leper, and their leprosy left. He touched Peter's mother-in-law, and their fever left her, and she was able to get up and minister. Over and over and over, we see him touching people to heal them. Not only him touching other people, but people touching him. You remember when he was in a great press of people on the way to find Jairus' daughter, and a woman came with a great issue of blood, and she thought within her heart, if I could just touch his garment, I would be healed. And she touched him, and she was healed. And so just that physical touch of Jesus, what they were looking for is for Jesus to heal the man. Jesus was there. They believed with all their hearts that Jesus could help their friend, and so they brought their friend to Jesus. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you believe Jesus could help your friends? I don't know about you, but I know people who need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we know that there are people who are sick, people who have cancer, people who have different things, and God could help them. So we plead with the Lord on their behalf. We know that it'd be good for some people in our lives. It'd be good for them to get in church and start going to church, be faithful in church. That would help them. And so we want to encourage them to come to church. And all of these things are good, and I think those are all a part of what we're talking about. But ultimately, what we're really talking about is bringing people to Christ for salvation. Amen. It's, the Bible tells us that we can be soul winners. Do you know that? Amen. We can't save anybody, but we can win souls when we bring souls to Jesus. When we have a friend who has a need that only Jesus can meet, we do everything we can to bring that friend to the Lord. And notice this man is blind. He can't see. And we've got some friends who are spiritually blind that don't know. They don't understand their need. They don't understand that they need a Savior. But what we've got to do is take them and lead them and bring them to the Lord. We've got to show them their need for a Savior. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of friend I want to be. This man had the help of great friends. But next we see the healing of the great Savior. And I told you that many times Jesus healed by touch. Many times Jesus healed by someone touching him. Other times Jesus healed with a word. Sometimes Jesus wouldn't go anywhere near somebody and he would say, as you've believed, so be it to you. And just at his word, people would be healed. I want you to know that Jesus is not bound by any particular way of healing. He can do it however he wants to. And all of the things that Jesus did outwardly, I believe there are lessons for us to learn in those outward things that he did. Jesus didn't need to touch anybody to heal them. He wanted to demonstrate that the power of healing came from him. That God was using him. God the Father had sent him. God the Father had anointed him. That he was indeed the very Christ and had the power of God to heal and to forgive sin. So he did things physically. Was that necessary? No. He just didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to do anything. He just needed to will it, and it was done. You get that? Isn't that incredible? That Jesus, inside of himself, just by willing something, I mean, we think he didn't even have to think it. He certainly didn't even have to say it. Just by his will, his sheer will, he can make anything happen. By the way, God's bigger than any problems that we have. Infinitely bigger. But Jesus didn't just will it. Jesus did some things physically. And I want you to look at it with me. Verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. I want you to see that Jesus is going to perform some actions towards this man, and he's going to do it in two parts. To my knowledge, this is the only time you'll ever find Jesus healing somebody and touching them twice and having two steps in the process as far as what he has done. Now, we see Jesus healing people many times. Matthew 12:22, there was a man possessed with a devil that was blind and dumb, and the Bible simply says, and he healed him. And so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 27, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. So here, the Lord simply heals him in Matthew 12, the demon-possessed man. In Matthew 9, these two blind men follow him, and he touches their eyes. In John chapter 9, when Jesus passes by, John 9 and verse 1, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of the spittle, and anointed he the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And so sometimes he touched them, and sometimes he just healed them, and sometimes he did different things. In Mark chapter 10, he heals another blind man. And in verse 52, Jesus simply says, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And so Jesus is not bound by any one way to heal, and he does different things. And he's going to deal with this man differently. So here, he takes the man by the hand. He leads him out of the city. And there he spits in the man's eyes. Now, some of you are like, that's gross. And we've been talking about flu season. Some of you are grossed out by that. We learned just a few weeks ago that there was the man who couldn't speak. Jesus spit on his tongue. And you say, well, what in the world is all that about? Well, let me help you out. Jesus is displaying and showing this man that the healing is going to come from him. This is like the anointing of God. This is Jesus. Now, I don't know how you feel about all this. I know it's a little bit different. It's a little bit weird. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want anybody else to spit on me. But if Jesus wants to spit on me, he sure can. I'd be happy for him to spit on me. I don't want anybody else to spit on me, but Jesus, he could spit on me all he wants to. And there was a sign here. There may be so much more to it that I don't understand, but I know that we can see clearly that he's showing the people that the healing's going to come from him. With the man who was deaf and mute, he could see what Jesus was doing. And he saw that he spit and he touched his tongue. Jesus was showing him visually that I'm going to be the one to heal you. This healing is coming from me. This man can't see, but he can certainly hear. And many times people who cannot see, their other senses are heightened. And so he could hear Jesus spit. He could feel the spit on his eyes. He knew that was coming from the Lord. So he spits in his eyes and touches him. And then he asks him if he can see anything. And the man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Would you notice, first of all, that Jesus took him by the hand? Jesus touched him. Jesus touched men to heal them because Jesus was touched by the men and their need. When Jesus saw the needs of people, he was moved with compassion, and that compassion moved him to action. When Jesus, they brought the blind man to him, he took him by the hand. You know, Jesus wasn't afraid to touch a leper. Jesus wasn't afraid to touch a blind man. Jesus wasn't afraid to let the harlot come and wash his feet. Jesus wasn't afraid to be close to sinners because he came to save sinners. His love for the lost and downtrodden and the sinners was displayed by his willingness to touch them. And he took this man by the hand, and then he led him out of town. Now, why did he lead him out of town? If you go back to Matthew 11, verse 21, we studied many weeks ago, Jesus pronounces a woe, a curse, a judgment on some cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. You see, the Lord had already cast judgment on Bethsaida. The Lord had already said, I'm done doing miracles here. You've already seen more miracles than anybody has before, and you refuse to believe, and I'm done with you. And I believe the Lord had a heart for this man. He had a heart and was moved by the faith of his friends that would bring their friend to Jesus, but he wasn't going to perform this miracle in town. He was going to do it privately. So he takes him by the hand, and he leads him outside of town. And there he spits on his eyes and puts his hands on him and asks him if he can see. I just can't help but see the parallel between Jesus spitting on his eyes and the eye salve that he speaks about in Revelation 3. If you'd look at that with me, please. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 19. when the Lord has a message for the church of the Laodiceans. Matthew 3:14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would there wert cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, I see a picture here of a saved man coming to salvation, a lost man coming to salvation. He's spiritually blind. But it goes beyond that, because it's interesting, as this man comes to Jesus and Jesus heals him, he's not healed all the way immediately. He sees, but he doesn't see clearly. Well, the same thing is said here to the church of the Laodiceans. He's writing to the church to save people, baptize people. People are serving him, and he says, you're blind. He says, you don't see. You need some eye salve so you can see clearly. The man said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, his vision is not right yet. He sees something, but he doesn't see clearly. And I wonder sometimes if that's not a great picture of us today. We see something, but we don't see very clearly. We understand a little bit, but we don't understand fully. See, after that, in verse 25, Mark 8:25, after that he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. You say, well, so Jesus, he couldn't heal him all the way the first time? Well, that's stupid. Of course Jesus could heal him all the way the first time. You say, well, maybe he just didn't have enough faith, but Jesus' healing didn't depend on a person's faith. Do you know that? When the man of the palsy was brought to Jesus and his friends let him down through the roof, Jesus didn't heal that man because of his faith. He healed him because of the faith of his friends. So it can't be that Jesus didn't have the power to heal him. We know that. And it's not necessarily that the man didn't have enough faith. So what is it? I believe that this man is a great picture of people in the church who have been saved, and they can see, but they don't see clearly. They have an understanding, but not a perfect understanding. They see a little bit, but it's shady. By the way, I think that this man, in my opinion, you can study it out for yourself, I think this man was able to see earlier in his life and then became blind later in life. And the reason is because he knew what men and trees look like. Listen, if you've never seen anything in your life and you start to see and everything's blurry and your vision's cloudy, how do you know what a man looks like or a tree looks like? How do you know what the difference is? I believe this is a man who had lost his sight at some time in his life, and when Jesus begins to heal him, he sees a little bit. His vision comes back. I can see, but I don't see very clearly. The men, they look like trees moving around. And so the Lord touches him a second time. Do you think it's possible for saved people in the church to not see clearly? My Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 3, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Jesus said that the church at the Laodiceans was blind, and they needed to anoint their eyes with eye salve so that they could see. Jesus tells us that if we are going to judge somebody else and we're going to help them get the sin out of their life, we better get the beam out of our eye before we can help to get the splinter out of their eye, because we're not seeing clearly. And so there may be sin in our life that keeps us from being able to see clearly, or we may be like the church and we may think that we're in good shape, and we may think that we are rich and increased with goods and we don't need anything, and we don't even realize that we're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And what I'm trying to tell you is that I believe not only is there a great picture of soul winning here that a friend would bring their blind friend to Jesus to be healed, but I think there's a great lesson here for the church today that we would understand that we're not quite as good off as we think we are sometimes. And maybe we do have some understanding and our eyes have been opened, but we don't see things perfectly. We don't see things clearly. Our understanding is not what it ought to be. And the reason is because of our own sin. What is it that keeps me from being able to understand the Word of God? My sin. What is it that keeps me from being able to help others to come to Christ? My own sin. And so our pride gets in the way, and our sin gets in the way. And the Lord says, get that beam out of your eye. The Lord says, be zealous and repent. And so the Lord touched him a second time, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. I don't want to belabor this, but I want you to get that idea, to understand how easy it is for just to read over this. The Bible doesn't tell us how long this man was blind, how old he was, how long he'd been blind, how long it had been before he went blind and then the Lord restored his sight, or maybe he was born blind, we don't know, but I believe that the scriptures would have told us that was a big deal. That was an extraordinary thing for one born blind to be made to see. But no matter what the case is, this man has spent some time unable to see. And can you imagine that moment when the Lord touches him, he pulls his hands away and he says, I see men as trees walking. I could see shapes. I could see something. Can you imagine the excitement that would have been in his heart? Can you imagine the nervousness and the anxiousness and just how he must have felt when the Lord said, look up, and he opens his eyes and he sees. And then he says, I see men as trees walking. And the Lord touches him again and he looks up and he says, I see every man clearly. And I believe the Lord's apostles were right there with him when he took him out of the town. And maybe the multitudes weren't there, but there were those men there. And Jesus in front of him and the disciples behind him. And he looked at each one of them and I see them clearly. When you study this out in the Greek, just about every word you can come up with from the Greek language for seeing is there. There's three different specific Greek words for seeing, and every one of them is used in this passage of Scripture. And just the completeness of it, that the Lord, you can see intently, you can zoom in and inspect something closely. All of that was made available to this man, because when Jesus heals, he heals completely. And he may have done it in a couple of steps, but I promise you it wasn't because his healing power was limited. I didn't quite get it that time. No, there's a lesson in it for us. And dear friend, I praise God if you can see. I praise God if God has given you spiritual eyesight, that you know the Lord, you can see the Lord, you can understand things from the Word of God because you've repented and trust Christ and He has touched you. But sometimes we get some things in the way in our lives and our vision becomes blurry. We allow sin in our life and we don't quickly confess and repent of, and so our vision is blurry, and sometimes we get so focused on the here and now that our vision gets blurry, and we don't spend enough time in the Word of God, so our vision's blurry, and we don't pray like we should, so our vision gets blurry. I'm just telling you tonight that we need to be zealous and repent. We need to get the sin out of our life. We need to lay aside that weight and sin which easily besets us, and we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and allow Him to help us to see clearly tonight. And he said, I saw every man clearly. He said, I can see perfectly now. I can inspect things closely. I can see far away. I can see up close. This man probably had better than 20/20 vision. And verse 26 says, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And we know when the deaf mute was healed, Jesus said, don't tell anybody, and he ran into town and told everybody. We don't get any indication about this man, but it appears that he obeyed the Lord. The Lord said, go home. what I've done for you is not for this town, but you can take it home. And the Lord didn't tell him he couldn't take it anywhere else. He just couldn't take it to that town. I want you to think about that for a second. What a great place to begin telling others what Jesus has done for you than at home. Isn't that awesome? Some of you, many of you have young children at home. We got a lot of little kids growing up. And I don't know that there's a greater privilege on this planet than to get to pour the gospel into your children. To teach them the Word of God. To show them the way of salvation. To be a mom and dad who are pouring the Word of God into your children's lives. That's an awesome thing. The Lord says, go home. And I promise you, that man went home and he didn't need anybody to lead him there. I believe that man rushed home. And if he had a wife still at home, he got to run in and tell his wife, or maybe he still lived with mom and dad, or maybe he had children. We don't know, but the man had a home, and he went home, and no doubt he ran into the door and told them, I can see. Can you imagine what that was like? And the joy that came to that house when he got to tell him, Jesus healed me. But the Lord said, don't tell it to any in the town. He didn't say, don't tell any man. He didn't say, don't tell anyone. He said, don't tell it to that town. Again, what a terrifying thing that the Lord was done with the town of Bethsaida. That he had dusted his feet off of that city. You know, around here, people think that they can bargain with God. Around here, people seem to have the idea that they can just wait around. I've even heard people from their mouth tell me that when they get on their deathbed, when they're close to dying, then they'll get saved. You know, I don't know how long God will put up with people like that. But it'd be a really foolish thing to gamble with your soul like that. You know, not everybody has the benefit of a deathbed. Some people never make it to their bed. And sooner or later, God is done with people who continually reject Christ. You say, well, how long is that? Only God knows. But you know, the next time you share the gospel with somebody, it may be the last time anyone shares the gospel with them. And tonight might be the very last time you hear the gospel. And if you've never repented of your sin and trusted in Christ, then let me be your friend tonight. I want to bring you to Jesus tonight. I want you to understand that He's the only one that has the power to heal. Not only could He make the blind see and the deaf speak, the deaf hear and the mute speak, the lame to walk, He could do all those things. He could even raise the dead to life again. But He does something even greater than all that. He gives everlasting life. He takes away your sin. He forgives you and makes you clean. And if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, tonight I plead with you, repent and trust in Him. And if you are saved, I pray that God will help all of us to go from here tonight and to do everything we can to bring others to Jesus. As we stand together, we have our musicians come, get ready for a verse of invitation. If you've never been saved, and you know tonight you need to be saved, I plead with you to trust Christ as your Savior. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized, and you know the Lord wants you to get baptized and serve Him in the church. Step out and make that decision tonight. And if you've got lost friends and family members who need the gospel, make a commitment to the Lord tonight to do everything you can to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Page 573.